Yeah, it was the day before Christmas Day. I just put brand new rims on my sleigh. In the kitchen, cooking eggs and hash. I got a call from Blitzen, talking some trash, saying,
oh, Saint Nicky, don't you see? You and your boys, you'll never beat me. So you can tell Kobe and tell LeBron that they can meet me on the court. It'll be We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 What's up, gang? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays, Hanukkah, whatever you guys celebrate. It is Kwanzaa. The Apocalypse Review. Yeah, Kwanzaa. Yeah, I don't really know anybody who celebrates Kwanzaa, but, you know.
Yeah, but hey, who knows? It's one of our followers' night, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever holiday you celebrate, I hope it is a joyous occasion.
Absolutely. I hope you have a great holiday season. Eat lots of food. I hope you got off of work.
Absolutely. It's all fatten up, people. Come on now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the wintertime. You're supposed to put on some extra extra.
Exactly. You need that extra padding. Exactly. You know? Just like that winter coat, you know.
Precisely.
Keep you nice and warm.
Exactly. So, yeah, you guys, I hope you've had a great year. We certainly have. It'll be we actually started the podcast around this time last year, right before New Year's. We're coming up on our anniversary pretty soon. But, yeah, you guys know us. At least you should know us. I am Ari, a.k.a. Magnum, alongside my colleague Murdoch, also known as Al. We are official review. Exactly. Upon official review. Thanks for tuning in, as always. We've got a great show in line for you guys. Lots of stuff to talk about. You know.
It's a good sports time right now. Absolutely,
it is. It's a great time of year. Period.
Yep.
You know, people are generally in a good mood around Christmas time too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's so. You know, the winter isn't bad at the beginning of it. You know, the first couple snows always pretty, and you know, after about a month, you're ready for it to be over.
Oh, absolutely.
No question.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Once you hit February, it's like, all right, I've had enough. But the first, you know, I don't mind winter. I like it, actually. But again, if it was 1 month rather than, you know, three, which always ends up feeling like 3 years.
Absolutely,
but,
yeah. It feels like it gets longer every year, too, to me, anyway.
Yeah, like, I hear you.
Over. Oh, my gosh. Especially, like, the last two.
And the other 9 months feel like less time than the winter.
Yep.
You know, it feels like the 3 months of winter is like 74% of the total, you know, calendar.
It really does. It feels like it's cold forever, especially when we get like lots of snow, and then the snow takes forever to melt.
So, you know, so far the weather's been pretty nice.
We've been fortunate. Yeah, knock on wood.
So, yeah, I am knocking on wood right there.
Exactly. Anybody who's near wood, please knock on it, because, yeah, we do not want any more.
Don't want a brutal winter. Like, was it a couple years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Blizzards in a row, like
ago,
two
yep.
in like a week that
yep.
were like 3 feet, and plus another one, and like an ice storm too. That was the toughest winter that I've ever experienced. So, as far as like snowfall, certainly.
The remember 96 was?
90, I think there was like one in 95.
Yeah,
but that was just one blizzard, and there was one in
92,
and then we had the ice storms in like 97 or something like that. It was like 3 out of 4 years we had either a blizzard or like ice storms. I'll never forget the ice storms one. That was crazy.
That one was crazy.
That was nuts. That was not
like crystallized.
Oh yeah, like all the trees and everything else had like a little ice coating on everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully this will be a mild winter and a quick one, and it'll get pass soon. But for now, it's the good part of winter. NFL's still happening. Playoffs are right on the doorstep. And, you know, it's the hot stove season for baseball, the big free agent signings and acquisitions. And, you know, it's generally a good sports time. You know,
it is. And the Flyers are
coming up on the dead zone in February, but let's try not to think about that.
Exactly.
Because that always sticks from the Super Bowl to March and that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the year for sure.
Yeah.
But for now, we don't have to worry about it because we got as good of a 6 week stretch as you'll get with. The NFL playoffs,
man, nothing like football playoffs, man. There's something just like the excitement of the NFL in general. You know what I mean? The way it's built up and the rivalries, the intensity of the playoff matchups, the one and done. You know what I mean?
So, you know, here we are about to, like I said, we're kind of home stretch of the NFL regular season. And speaking of, the Eagles, by some miracle, are still alive for the playoffs. About after the end of the first quarter last week, I started looking and I realized, wow, if the because the Giants were losing to the Redskins at that point, and it looked like they were definitely going to lose. And I'm
I
like,
never
wow.
saw that coming, first of all.
Yeah, neither did I. And then I looked at the schedule, and I said, well, we play Dallas next week. And then, well, see, Giants play Dallas the final week, and then the Jets play the Giants. So if the Jets beat the Giants, and then if the Giants beat the Cowboys, if we win out, we're in. You know, I had all that figured out by, like, the end of the first quarter in the Eagles game, and all of a sudden I'm like excited again. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, I can't believe I'm such a sucker. It's like being in an abusive relationship where, you know you're just gonna get hurt again. But,
right, right.
You know, she puts on that dress that you like so much, and you know she's looking good, and you're just like, you know, you had a couple drinks maybe, and you're just like, I know this is a bad idea, but what the heck? And then, you know, of course you're gonna
you remember
end up,
the good times. That's what it is. You remember the
good
times.
Yeah, yeah. You're just all like, oh wow, she looks so good, and you know she's talking, I'm so sorry, and you're just like, all right. And you know she's gonna cheat on you in like 3 weeks, but nonetheless, you take her back.
I give it a shot. I think I know what's gonna happen anyway, but
But what the heck.
I think I really
love that little black dress that she's wearing right now, and what the heck, you know.
Yep.
So we'll know more by the end of the week whether if the Eagles can beat the Cowboys and if the Jets can beat the Giants this week, the Eagles have, I'd say, a great chance to make the playoffs. Maybe even 50% or, you know, maybe even 50%, because I think if there's a chance going into the final weekend, we will beat the Redskins.
Right.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even care if Vic's not in.
And they have, at that point, they have nothing to play for.
Right. Yeah, and we're going to beat the Redskins if the playoffs are on the line. We will beat the Redskins.
Right.
You can take that one to the bank.
Yep.
It will all come down to whether the Giants can beat the Cowboys, which we've just seen they can do. You know, Giants are up and down, but if Eli Manning plays well, he's really good.
Yeah.
He's had a
very good season.
Yeah, other than, you know, this last game against Washington, he's been really good all year. Kind of, you know, he kind of went out and said, hey, I'm an elite quarterback, and then actually went out and played like one. It was, you know, every fourth
everybody
quarter.
Everybody laughed.
Like, yeah, but then he started making it. And then you start thinking back, well, man, the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and he beat the Packers that year and the Cowboys and, you know, and like all these clutch wins that he wins right at the end. And it's just like, well, you know, maybe he is an elite quarterback. And you know, and here we are. The Eagles have a chance. You know, if the Jets can beat the Giants and the Eagles can win this week, we got a great chance. You know, we'll see. The thing is, that I don't like is we have to, you know, the Giants have to first lose, then win. So hopefully the Jets, you know, they got embarrassed by the Eagles last week. Hopefully they'll come out on fire and have a great performance. And then the Giants will just be motivated to ruin Dallas' season, which who wouldn't be motivated to ruin Dallas' season?
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
They will be.
Especially after recently, who was it? Was it one of the Dallas players? I think it was DeMarcus Ware, said one of the Giants players, I think it was Justin Tuck, he was like, Justin Tuck wishes he was a Cowboy. Everybody wants to be
right,
a Cowboy. You remember that?
Yeah.
He was talking all that trash about, like,
he's
talking trash because he, you know, he wants to be
and
me, essentially.
I'm pretty sure, you know, if the Giants lose this week, they'll be 7-7. I don't know who wins the tiebreaker between the Giants and the Cowboys, but
the Giants have 6 losses or 7 right now.
They're 7-7 right now. So if they're 7-8 next week, and so are we, and the Cowboys are 8-7. I think the Giants would still be alive for the playoffs if they would have to then have the Eagles lose, and then they would be able to beat Dallas. Yeah, so they would be alive because then they would have swept Dallas head-to-head, and they would both end up, the Giants and Dallas, 8-8, while the Eagles would be 7-9. So if everything breaks well for the Eagles this week, as in the Giants lose and the Eagles win, the Giants are still alive, so they have everything to play for against the Cowboys.
Right.
So
right.
That works, it bodes for our favor.
How does
then they,
it work, not to interrupt, how does it work? What time are the games? Is there
that the league changes around week 17 based on what we won't really know until
week
16 is over. They'll have one game. It's usually they'll find the best game as far as a win in your in scenario.
Right. My question was
Sunday night game.
People aren't thinking along the same lines as me. is it possible that a game could be played and then the, you know, at 4 o'clock, there's no reason for you to, you know what I mean, for you to care, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's possible. My thinking is that Giants-Cowboys game may well be the Sunday night game if it's that scenario.
Right.
So the Eagles would probably take the field thinking they had a chance. The only way is if the Eagles played at 4 and that other game was already over. It was a 1 o'clock game. I think that right now the game is scheduled as a 1 o'clock for the Eagles, I believe. I'm looking it up. Yeah, it's a 1 o'clock game right now. That could definitely change. But right now both games are scheduled at 1 o'clock. So now we could take the field on Saturday knowing we're out already if the Giants beat the Jets.
The Giants
beat
the Jets. Because
that happens Christmas Eve at 1 o'clock where our game's at 4 o'clock this coming weekend, Christmas Eve,
right.
The 24th. So
what does your gut tell you right now? You think the Jets are going to win that game? And we'll go down the
I think that's a coin toss. I think that's a 50-50. They're both at home. So the crowd
right,
should
they
be
both
50-50.
Are. Right.
The Jets get to use their own locker room. I don't think that matters at all. It's a home game for both. The crowd should be 50-50, which isn't really a home game. It's not really a road game.
Rex Ryan does have the fat advantage.
Yes.
He does.
And he has the trash talk advantage for sure.
He definitely does.
Players like him.
Has that,
players don't necessarily like him.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I think it's 50-50. I really do. They're both about as good as each other. Who knows? That's the game, you know, and the Giants. Both of the games that we're not a part of are kind of 50-50 shots.
You know what's weird, too, about the Giants and the Jets, or the Jets in particular, is Sanchez is so up and down. He's been to two straight AFC championships,
right.
But at the same time, he'll just look terrible.
He looked awful last week.
So you don't really know. Exactly. He looked terrible last week. At the beginning of the year, I was thinking, you know, I think Mark Sanchez is going to have a really good year, but he's just so inconsistent, including the game against us. I was just like, man, this guy, there are just times where he just doesn't even look like a franchise quarterback at all. Like he barely looks like a starter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think he is a franchise quarterback. I think they've been winning with the awesome defense they have and a pretty good running game usually. And I think, you know, the Colts are probably going to get the number one pick. Why not, if I'm the Jets, go get Peyton Manning? I mean, how awesome would the Jets be with Peyton Manning?
That's what I'm hoping.
How awesome would that be? Also, you get Brady Manning twice a year.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good call.
That would be great. Now, I think two teams could really use just random Peyton Manning. I've been thinking about that a lot. Because you have to me, if the Colts get that pick, you have to trade Manning.
Because
Manning's 36. Who knows what he's, you know, neck surgery, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You don't know what you're getting from. You got to take the 22-year-old.
Yep.
Because by the time Manning, you know, at 40 or 39 is the only, you know, that's the next time the Colts, if everything breaks well, are going to be good. You know, even going to be good then. But Favre had one or two good years left, but basically he'll have nothing left in the tank by the time they're competing again. Anyway, so to me, they have to trade Manning. The Jets would be awesome with Manning. And how about the 49ers? They would be awesome with Manning.
You think the 49ers would go for him? I mean, I feel like they settled in with Alex
Smith.
Smith.
Special. I think they're winning on their defense with a running game. That's if they upgraded from Alex Smith to Peyton Manning, they might be better than Green Bay. I mean, they are awesome. Green Bay doesn't have a great defense. They might be the best. Either one of those teams could be the best team in the league. That's just huge upgrade. So to me, like a team like that, why wouldn't they give up 2-3 first-round picks?
Yeah.
The Oakland gave up a first and a second for Carson Palmer, who's what, 34 anyway? So you're going to at least beat that to make it 2 firsts for Peyton Manning.
Yeah. True.
Oakland, if they make the AFC Championship game, it would be 2 firsts. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Palmer,
so the first and a second,
Manning.
It's not even close. So that to me, if they get a first and a second, you should be able to get 2 firsts and a second for Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm the Jets or the 49ers, I'd do that because now you're winning multiple Super Bowls possibly if he's healthy.
Yeah.
There has to be a clause in there. You got to check him out with your doctors, everything like that.
Physicals and all that stuff. Yeah,
that would be exciting. I mean, especially to see him on the Jets get to play the Patriots twice a year. That would just be fun.
That would be fun.
That would just be fun.
I mean, the Jets are just notoriously, you know, they're the kind of team that, you know, in the last few seasons, I've been rooting for them in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
They talk trash and they're, you know, they're kind of brash and exciting. Yeah, and they're fun, exactly. And they're kind of they kind of have that lovable losers kind of thing that the Eagles kind of relate to as well. You know, the Eagles fans relate to.
They're both gangrene too. They both use that as a for their defenses.
That's true.
I don't know who stole it.
First, I'm pretty sure they stole it.
I think we had it first. Yeah, with the Reggie White. Sure. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, here's my question for you, and I'll talk about it too. If for some, you know, like I think I posted it in my Twitter in our Twitter the other day, like the Eagles need, you know, all these different scenarios to happen, and they need
four games to break right. Both
right.
of theirs.
They need four games to break right, and they need to submit. You know, 15 cereal box tops and seven three payments of $29.99. You know what I mean? It's like you got to do all these things and jump through.
It's
all
not
these.
As bad as the one a couple years ago where everything broke right on the last weekend and all of a sudden we were playing Dallas because there was like six games. Like Tampa Bay had to beat
Oakland.
Yeah, and like or Oakland had
Oakland
to beat Tampa Bay,
Bay
maybe.
Yeah, Oakland had to beat Tampa.
And Tampa was good
Michael
that
Bush,
year, and Oakland was
running
not.
Back, backup running
yep.
back for
had like 200 yards or something crazy like that.
Berserk.
But there was another game just like that had to happen where a bad team had to beat a good team, and both broke right on the last week.
Yep.
So we got a decent chance. I mean, I think feel pretty good that we're going to win our games.
Here's the question then. If, you know, by hook or by crook, like you say, if things break right, the Eagles make the playoffs – what are the chances?
Four seed, they'd have a home game too.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. They wouldn't even be the wild card. What are the odds we win a game or two or more?
Well, as the four seed,
nobody wants to play us, right?
Nobody wants to play us. Absolutely not. Now, Atlanta and Detroit are going to be the two wild card teams.
Right,
I think
exactly.
You'd be favored against either one of those teams at home. So I think you have a good chance to win the first game. Now, the second, it depends. The Saints would right now be the third seed. Depends. Either if the Saints are the third seed, you figure they win that. So then the three seed would play the two. You'd end up playing the Packers in the second round. That's a tough draw.
Yep.
If the Saints lose that first round, you'd actually then go, if the sixth seed, either the Lions or the Falcons, beat the Saints, now the sixth seed goes and plays the Packers. You'd play the 49ers. That game you definitely can win. We were blowing them out without either one of those 30-yard field goals or a bunch of turnovers. We can play with them. There's no question about
that. Ronnie Brown thought he saw somebody wide open in the
corner. Yeah, I mean, there were so many stupid plays, and we still lost by 1 point. I mean, that game we win 99 out of 100.
Yeah,
999 out of 1,000 probably. So, it depends on what happens in the playoffs.
Odds of beating Andy Reid.
San Francisco's the two seed, or if they end up as the three seed, and New Orleans is the two seed, I could definitely see San Francisco losing the opening game, and then you travel to New Orleans. So to me, you're going to play in the second round would be either San Francisco, New Orleans, or Green Bay. You can't really like your chances against Green Bay or New Orleans because those are two of the top three teams in the league.
Right.
But it could be done, sure. I mean, at that point you're playing with house money. So, it's like
exactly.
Bay last year. Like the Giants a couple years ago, Pittsburgh a couple years ago when they were the sixth seed. Could they make a run? Absolutely. I mean, it's not likely. It's not even likely they're going to get there. To me, I think they're going to win their two games, but both the other two are 50-50 shot. So based on that, you got a 25% chance of both of those two games breaking right. Plus, certainly not 100% that we will win both of our games. So right now we're looking at like a 10% chance to make the playoffs, 10-15%. 15 would be a generous estimation if you gave us 60% to win both, which was probably a little bit of a stretch. But it's probably about a 10 or 15% chance of making the playoffs, which a week ago even it was probably a 1%. So it's 10 times more likely than it was last week before the games were played.
It's just funny.
Giants
because
beating the Redskins, we'd be out of it just like that.
Exactly.
Game over, done. We're out of the playoffs. We are physically, mathematically eliminated.
The thing is, not to interrupt, but this thing is, I never saw the Giants after looking pretty good. To just go, they went. There was that in Washington last week. That wasn't it?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
No. Wait. It might have been a home game for the Giants. Either way, the Redskins are not good.
Oh no, they're terrible. There's no doubt about that.
The Redskins are terrible, and Eli Manning has been shredding.
He was so bad last
good
week.
Secondary
through every single pass.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
It's just an embarrassing game.
It seems like the Giants defense is very.
It was in New York, even worse, in New York.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing too is when you think about defenses, defense is usually more consistent than offenses, right? Defense is usually put together solid.
Yeah, you know what you can count on. You
exactly.
Don't have to worry about
but the Giants defense
or anything like that
is the other way around. They're very some weeks their pass rush looks, you know, vicious, and then other weeks they're just people just standing back there all day long to pass. And
just so ordinary, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And if, you know, any almost any quarterback, we won't say any quarterback, most quarterbacks, to give them time, you're going to get beat. That's just the way it is. And the Giants.
Unless Caleb Haney.
Exactly. That's the Caleb
Quick
Haney.
Quick Bears tangent. Man, the Bears, I thought, could have won the Super Bowl if Cutler never got hurt. They were playing really well. I thought they could have beat the Packers. Their defense was unbelievable. And this is their backup. He's terrible.
It's not just that. Matt Forte is hurt, too. That's what
I know, but this quarterback is one of the worst ever that's ever played. Did you see that touchdown the pick six he threw? Where there literally was getting sacked, and his thought was, there's a big man after me that wants me to wants my football. I better throw it. You know, it's just
He got sacked.
Nobody was even 20 yards away. He just said, "Okay, take it. Oh, don't hurt me, please." You know, like. What?
It was, yeah. That had to be like the worst feeling in the world to get punished and also be scored at the same time. Like, that's a double whammy. It's one thing to like throw a pick six, you know, but to get obliterated and throw a pick six at the same time, it's just gotta be, you know, make you feel lower than low, man. That was really bad. It was so bad that makes me so angry about the Eagles. Is we had so many like.
So many
cake games that
one game,
in the driver's seat.
Just give us that San Francisco game.
Yeah,
that's all. Just one 30-yard field goal.
Uh huh. Yep.
The Seahawks game we were never gonna win. I always thought we were gonna lose that. If there is no team,
but just bad teams.
Yeah,
you know
it's
mean?
Just that. But that was not fair. That was the schedule.
Yeah.
For a Thursday night game after a Sunday afternoon, a 4 o'clock Sunday against the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then you have to travel 3,000 miles. They had a half practice on Monday, the day after the game, and a full practice on Tuesday, and a travel day on Wednesday. That was it. Seattle got to have a half practice on Monday, a full practice on Tuesday, and a full practice on Wednesday. They were always going to win that game. So that's not a fair – you know, we got blown out and everything, but every other team would have too. You know, four-day week, nobody should have to travel very far at all. That's just not right. That was brutal. The schedule, I blame for that 100%. Plus, you're right. We didn't have our starting quarterback, but you know they were tired. They couldn't stop the run. I mean, it's 4 days later. We had to travel 3,000 miles. Duh, we were tired.
Yeah, and you're playing against the hardest running back in the league.
Yeah, and that's a bad running back to be playing against when you're exhausted.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Somebody who
wants that the league screwed us in that game. That I don't blame the Eagles for, really. It was a bad performance, and it was on the heels of a bunch of other ones. So at the time, it looked worse than it was. But, you know, I said as soon as I saw the schedule after they finally signed the CBA, we were losing that game on a four-day week going to Seattle. That's brutal.
Yeah.
I don't think any team in the league wins that game. Green Bay doesn't win that game. No team wins that game, having to travel 3,000 miles on a four-day week. You know, they got home at like 2 o'clock in the morning probably after that Patriots game. And then, you know, barely, you know, 2 days later, they're playing, you know, traveling. You know, it's just that wasn't right. But, give us a field goal in the 49ers game, and then we would have I don't like the term, but we would control our own destiny. Beating Dallas, we'd be in first place if we had beaten San Francisco. So if our kicker could have hit one 30-yard field goal out of two tries, which one out of two 30-yarders is pretty good odds to make.
Yeah, exactly.
Make one of them. Or if our idiot running back doesn't throw a pass at the 1 yard line while he's being tackled,
right?
Throw a backwards lateral. Mm-hmm. We're in control, which we don't deserve to be, but we would be. So,
can we talk about real quick too, while we're still on the birds? One, why did the Eagles insist on using kick returners who are terrible?
You are absolutely right about that.
Lewis can't return kicks whatsoever. What do they see? It's Reno Amahe part two. The funny thing is, Deion Lewis is not a bad running back. When he's in the backfield, he looks good, but he can't return kicks at all. He rarely returns a kick to the 20.
Horrible.
Rarely.
Yeah, 5 yards of return.
Exactly. Every time they kick into the end zone, I'm like, please kneel.
Please kneel. We're not in even a worse field.
And then last week, he fumbled it. And it was just like, again with this guy.
Wait, no.
Seriously?
No, it wasn't him. It was
Marsh. Yeah, it was him on the kickoff.
Curtis Marsh?
No. Marsh muffed the – was it the punt? But he definitely –
a kickoff and muffed punt last week?
Yeah, we did. We had two turnovers.
Damn, I didn't realize
on
that.
On special teams, yep.
I must have been zoned out or watching – I was probably watching NFL Red Zone during that second one.
Probably.
The Eagles game as well.
Yeah, Marsh had one the week before when he fumbled the –
Marsh had one 2 weeks in a row this week.
Yeah, exactly, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So No. Marsh had the ball bounce off of him. That's what it was on
right.
the punt. But he didn't actually go to catch it. That's what it was.
No. Yeah, right. Okay, so the other guy actually just straight fumbled
it. He straight fumbled it on the return, yeah. Somebody
slapped it. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was like he barely got touched. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, the guy just slapped out of his arm. Yep, right at the 15-yard line. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. They held the field goal.
And then they belted it. Yeah. Okay, I remember
that. But it was just like, why is Deion Lewis back there? Get him out of there.
Yeah, no, they always have, like, Jackson, you know, I guess is good, sort of, although he hasn't been good at all this year returning punts, but –
their kickoff returners are just consistent.
Kickoff returners are just garbage. They wouldn't make – it's like their linebackers. They wouldn't make the team – they wouldn't be in the league. They'd be on a practice squad on another team.
Exactly. But. Yeah, and I thought that they got the guy from the Raiders, Johnny Lee Higgins, at the beginning of the year. At least keep him on to return kicks because that was what he used to be good. I don't know if he's still good at it, but maybe he just lost all his athleticism.
Maybe
he would have been like – I feel like he could have –
It's ridiculous that they can't have just an average NFL level player at these kind of positions.
Yeah.
And if we did, we would be a lot better than we are now. Or an average NFL coach at the defensive coordinator, things like that.
Yeah.
But they have to go instead of average to things that wouldn't be in the league anywhere else. But because Andy Reid thinks that everything he does turns to gold, he thinks he's King Midas. Ugh.
Yeah, it's brutal. That's brutal. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk football some more. When we go through our picks of the week, because it is getting close to that crunch time with the NFL, so we'll do our weekly picks, and then we'll come back. We'll do What's Making Murdoch Mad, as always. So you guys stick around. Merry Christmas. We'll see you in a little bit. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us. Don't go any freaking where.
I don't know. Right now, I'm very into the universe, you know, like how it was created, you know, like what is it, you know, the solar system is so humongous big, right? But if you see that, like, our solar system and our galaxy and, like, on the side, you know, like, it was so small, you can't even see it. Our galaxy is huge. But if you see the big picture, our galaxy, like, small, tiny, like, dot in the universe, like, and you think, like, and we have some problems here on the Earth we worry about compared to, like, nothing. Just be happy. Don't worry. Be happy right now.
What's up, gang? Welcome back to the Upon Official Review Podcast, the last word in Philly sports. Thanks for sticking around. As always, we appreciate you guys listening and telling people about it and downloading and all that good stuff. Well, you guys know what time it is. It is time for my favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment, Bill Gates' favorite segment. You know the deal. It is time for What's Making Murdoch Mad. Murdoch, tell them what's up.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right, gang, this week what's making me mad is, and I'm not trying to be a Scrooge, but the whole Christmas thing, which I like, you know, I love Christmas, that's fine and everything else. I mean, you know, I love kids on Christmas, my nephews, I get so excited, and it's fun to be around them. And but, you know, does Christmas really need to start in September? You know, like Christmas sales in October, it's ridiculous, you know. It seems to start earlier and earlier every year. You know, in 5 years, it's going to be January 2nd, and they're going to have Christmas sales for the next year. They're going to wait a week after Christmas, and then it'll be Christmas season. It's going to literally last 358 days a year. It's getting insane. It needs to stop. And, you know, for that matter, you know, cars, you can buy 2012 cars in the summertime. You can buy Madden 12 in August. Like, why can't we just call things by the year that they're coming out in? Like, is that... what's the deal? You know, like, why does everything have to be a year past it? It's just wait.
It's always ahead. You're right.
Let things be now.
Yeah.
Just let it be current. You know, if the car's not going to be any different, nobody's going to not want to buy it. If they didn't go a year ahead and the 2011 models were coming out in the summer, they'd buy it. Just they wouldn't lose any money. I don't. It doesn't make any sense. It's not benefiting anyone. It's just ridiculous. Enough of this. Have things be when they are, and don't make Christmas 4 months long. It's not a 4 month deal. It's fine if you want to say the day after Thanksgiving. You know, that's a long time to me, but that, you know, that's a month. That's enough. All right. Enough of that. Let's just keep Christmas to Black Friday through Christmas. Let's keep cars on the year they're at. Let's just stop with this madness. It's getting insane. It's going to end up being, you're going to see stuff in spring Christmas sales. Like, come on. You know, when does this end? I mean, I saw things in before in the summer that talking about Christmas. Just like, this is insane. Nobody's buying Christmas stuff in July. Come on. Like, this is nuts. So
yeah,
I just, you know, every year I get annoyed with it, hearing Christmas music in the beginning of November, late October. It's just totally out of control. You know, they take the joy out of the holiday. They make it just like it's aggravating because you've had to deal with it for so many months and months and months.
That is true. You're right. That lead-in is unnecessary.
That's what's making me mad. Yeah, let's just – and again, it's not only that. It's just like the car thing and the video game. You know, can we just stay in our own year? We don't need to jump ahead, you know? It just doesn't make any sense. I don't see the benefit to it. So that's my rant for this week.
I'm with you. I am with you on that, sir. Good stuff, as always. As always. So yeah, man, let's dip into the Flyers, and we'll talk some fills and stuff real quick.
Okay.
First things first. Chris Pronger is apparently done for the year.
I guess they're kind of holding out hope that maybe he can play for the playoffs, but basically it's a don't hold your breath situation.
Exactly.
And it sucks. I thought, you know, Boston was a bad matchup for us last year, but it would have been a lot better of a matchup if we had had Chris Pronger. We had a real deep team last year. We had three goalies. None of them were good. They're all just as good, though. We were deep. There was no difference, really, between the three. We had, you know, six defensemen that could play. We had, you know, 12, you know, at least nine, three really good scoring lines.
Right.
There was nobody that would have hurt us to lose to injury.
Right.
No one player except for Pronger.
Except Pronger.
He was the one guy. Now, this year, you'd say Pronger and Giroux both would be the two guys, because Giroux's made the leap. He's top five. He might be top three. He might be top one.
And you
might
mentioned
be the best
that.
Player in the NHL.
Yeah, you mentioned that right as the season was starting, or maybe a little before the season started, and I was like, I don't know. But you're right. You totally called it, sir. He's absolutely top five. There's no
Giroux
question about
awesome.
It.
And he's a player that you already know is going to be better in the playoffs. He has shown it already. He's like 21-22, and he stepped it up a couple years ago in the playoffs. And it was like the first time it was like JVR last year at a big playoffs, but he is clutch. He's like Briere. Briere is a guy you want on your team when it's playoff time.
It's crunch time.
And, Jágr is going to be that way too this year. You watch. I've had to face Jágr. I've watched the Flyers face Jágr in the playoffs.
You faced him on video games.
Many times, yeah. And he is scary to watch, and he's really good still, even though he's 40.
Yeah, man.
We got a team full of gamers, and it just sucks to lose Chris Pronger. That is really going to hurt. I would have said Flyers are the favorites to win the Stanley Cup, and I'm not one that would easily say that. You know, after so many playoff disappointments in the 90s and early 2000s, I kind of am hardened about the Flyers. Like, I'm not all roses. I'm not going to see all sunshine. I'm going to call it like it is. But they were the best team in the NHL with Chris Pronger. And they're still one of the best teams, but it's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah.
And that's just – it sucks.
No, dude, I totally agree. To add my two cents to that, man, I thought along the same lines. I really think this team – and they've played well as of late. I mean, other than that
absolutely.
Boston showing.
Yeah, they're really good still. I mean, they have a lot.
But I really think that this team was a different team defensively with Chris Pronger on the ice. And he was, you know, he was on the ice for 20 minutes. You know, he wasn't playing, you know, even with 30? What it was, he 30, 36, 37?
Yeah,
like
and he would
38?
Play, he'd play 30 minutes for you in
yeah,
the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And,
it's hard
to
score when he's on the ice.
It really
is. And over a seven-game series, he's pounding the crap out of you every time you go to the crease. You
exactly,
don't want to go
yeah.
to the crease.
Exactly, yeah. And he's, you know, 6'6".
Yeah. That makes a difference.
It makes
you know, they're,
a difference.
They're not going to be
you know,
scared
that,
to go
that
camp
range,
out in front of
that
our goalie.
With your stick, you know what I mean? That, yep. that makes a huge difference. And I really – losing Pronger, to me, did take my confidence out thinking that, you know, this team was – do you think that the Flyers will make a move and try to bring another defenseman
in? I don't know. It depends on, like, the cap situation. If they put him on the injured reserve, does he not count against the cap? I'm not sure. I think they might have cap room if they say he's out for the year. I don't know what the deal is with that. If they can, they should, I think, because they need a big defenseman. And it's just those guys. Chris Pronger, not Chicago. They don't grow on trees.
He was on Chicago. Okay.
Dustin Byfuglien. Yeah.
Byfuglien. Yeah. Yeah. I can remember how to pronounce his name. I was wondering. He was always, you know, in the creek.
Yeah, he's bounced around, but he's a forward. So
that's what
it's not exactly. But yeah, I mean, maybe if you can't get a defenseman, get a big forward to help do that kind of work. That wouldn't be actually a bad. Idea that might be what they might have to think outside the box. It's like, yeah, Chris Pronger's don't grow on trees. You know him, Nick Lidstrom. You know those are the best defensemen in hockey, and you know it helps you win.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those guys are the different.
Detroit has won so many cups because they've had him, and Pronger has won a cup and been to the finals 3 times in the last 5 years. That's not a coincidence. That's because it makes your team a lot better. And could they have made the finals last year with him if he was healthy? Absolutely. I mean, probably. When he got hurt, their team started sucking. If he never got hurt and he was fully healthy, it would have been a different story. We wouldn't have played Boston in the second round, first of all. We would have had the number one seed. So somebody else could have beat them, and nobody else ended up doing it. But yeah, it hurts. It hurts. It sucks. That's typical luck. It almost reminds me of losing Cunningham the year that our defense was like the greatest ever.
Wow. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Having all those backup quarterbacks, you know, who knows that?
Man, I still have nightmares about that, man.
That still sucks, man. I remember the play he got hurt.
That was like that.
We probably would have won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, we probably would have.
We didn't even make the playoffs. We went 10-6
of my Eagles fandom.
Yeah,
because I was born in Maryland. I was born in Maryland.
And
Redskins fans when I was a little kid, but then I didn't really know much about football anyway.
Right.
You know, so I was kind of learning about football, and then I adopted the Eagles. You know, when I was 12 or however old I was, and the Eagles were going to be awesome that year, and I was all I think that was the first year I got like psyched in the preseason.
Yeah, Cunningham was the ultimate weapon.
Yeah,
he was the MVP the year before that, right?
He was, yeah. 89 or
crazy,
whatever.
Or maybe it was 2 years before that, but
yeah, maybe something. But he was still awesome.
Yeah, and we would have probably. I think we would have won the Super Bowl that year. That was the year Washington.
We were across the board the leader.
Defense wins championships. Yep, against the best passing defense, the best running defense, the fewest points allowed. We had all three. Damn.
Think about it too.
This is the same kind of thing to me. Pronger 2 years in a row losing him. It's brutal.
We're now on an Eagles tangent, but if the Eagles that defense would have been ranked in the top three of all time, that rate what the Ravens and the Bears had. You know, the 2000 Ravens or the 99 Ravens? What year was that?
2001.
Yeah, 2001 Ravens and the 85 Bears. We would have been right in that same category had they won a Super Bowl. But
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. That was an awesome Pittsburgh season. Of the 70s, too. You got to throw them in
Steel
there.
Curtain. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the Flyers. Have you had a chance to watch 24/7 on HBO? And actually,
I don't have HBO. I should download it or something.
Absolutely. Yeah,
sure.
Find it online.
I've watched like clips of it. I see like Brizgalov talking crazy and stuff. That's hilarious.
Brizgalov,
I love that. Talking about the universe and tigers and stuff.
He's,
it's like great.
He's
the universe is humongous.
Exactly. So humongous. He says humongous big. The galaxy. You know, you should be happy because everything is so big and you were so small and compared. Yeah, he's a nut, dude.
Awesome.
But yeah, for those of you who have HBO or have access to the internet, find 24/7. You'll absolutely enjoy it. Not for little kids to watch. It definitely has a lot of swear words in it, so to speak. But it's a fantastic show. I'm glad that you kind of get to see. A little bit of the players and kind of what they're like. From what I've heard from, people that are on the radio or whatever, they say, like, hockey players are the most down-to-earth. And I kind of get that same vibe watching that.
Because they're Canadians, you know?
Maybe
they don't have they're not as cocky as Americans.
Yeah, exactly.
They're by their nature.
Exactly.
They're more
they
mild-mannered.
They seem like they're just flaunting their riches all the time.
Right.
And, like,
exactly.
You know, like, you watch, American athletes on shows like Cribs, and they're like, look at my 15 cars. You're like, why do you have 15 cars, dude? Like,
and the hockey player has like one beat up pickup truck from like 8 years ago or something.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
Like, this is my truck. I love it.
Yep.
So yeah, guys, get a chance. If you get a chance, watch that show. It'll make you hate the Rangers more too, which is cool. Let's switch over to baseball. I will chat
got
about
some Phillies news.
Exactly. The Phillies, you know, the hot stove and all that good stuff. But last time we talked, we actually chatted about Papelbon briefly. And we talked about how he would be an upgrade.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, he's basically – Ryan Matson was great last year, but he's been as good or better for 6-7 years. Also won a World Series. So if you're going to spend $44 million on Matson, would I rather spend $50 on Papelbon? Yeah, I would. I might rather spend a little less for either one, but it is what it is.
It's not my money.
And I'm glad to have him. So, yeah. Not my money. But, you know, am I a little worried after the fact that I started talking, well, Madsen might age better because of his changeup and, you know, whatever. Yeah, but you're always worried about certain different things. And yeah. I think he's going to be good. The National League hasn't seen him either, so he gets the advantage right away.
Mm-hmm.
So first time through the league, it's going to be a lot harder to hit him, which is good for us. And I expect he'll have a very good year. And, you know, in a much more competitive NL East now, the Marlins went out and got, you know, Jose Reyes. They went out and got Mark Burley. And who else did they get? Didn't they get somebody else, too? Or was it just Reyes and Burley?
I think it's just Reyes and Burley. I was biting my fingernails thinking they might get Pujols, man. I was worried about that.
Yeah, Pujols, that's just too much money.
It was
you know,
too much money.
For a team that's not the Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies, they don't have unlimited resources, these other teams. So that's going to, you know, they're not going to be able to pay for other things because they're paying Pujols $30 million a year at age 41. That's just, you know, if he's 26, 27, sure, you know.
Right.
But to pay him in his, you know, for age 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, making $27 million a year, that's going to be tough. That's going to hurt their team
the second half
of that
DH,
contract.
But even still, even as a DH.
Still, he's not going to be worth $27 million. You could definitely find a way to spend better money than $27 on a 36-year-old Albert Pujols.
Yeah,
he'll be good for the first 3 or 4 years, but even the last 6 years, I think that's going to be
a
bad contract. That's the market rate. They paid what they had to do to get him.
Here's the other thing. The only players that have played at a high, super high level past, you know, the age of
they're
like
on steroids.
They're on steroids, exactly. Unless you're telling me that Pujols is, you know, juicing.
Yeah, on HGH or something, which they're going to start testing for. So
yeah, your bat speed just slows down. It just happens.
Absolutely, it happens. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch this year. I'm not even sure they're the favorites in their own division. Texas is still really good. They got the Yu Darvish, the guy from the Japan, supposedly, you know, the hot prospect, the pitcher.
Oh, Matsuzaka Part 2 or whatever.
Yeah, although it's supposed to be better. So
really.
Yeah, they lost
C.J. Wilson.
Wilson. Who signed him? Did the Marlins sign him?
He went to Anaheim, just like Pujols.
Anaheim, right. He went with Pujols. Okay, that's what it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers have a disgusting lineup.
Yeah, they really hit well. They are tough to beat.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see that AL West. That's a better division this year. I'm looking forward to the NL East, though. You know, the Braves will still be good. They have some – They might not be done. They still have like Jurgens. They could trade him and
get
him
young
bat.
Arms. Yeah, man.
They've got a bunch of young stud starting pitchers, so they kind of have a surplus. And if they, you know, everybody needs starting pitching except for the Phillies and Braves, pretty much, and the Giants, San Francisco Giants. But you know, if they trade for a stud bat, which they could, you know, that they could be a more interesting team. The Marlins, to me, are not there yet. I don't care. You know, Burley and Reyes, whatever. They're going to be good. You know, the Nationals, they're going to be good with Harper, Strasburg. You know, Worth might have a better year.
Is Bryce going to be there? I guess he's probably going to.
They're talking about he's coming in this year at some point. They'll probably make him wait till June so he doesn't.
Talk about how terrible the name Bryce is for a second.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's a douchebag.
Don't ever name your kid Bryce. Yeah, that's what I've heard too. Yeah, he's kind of an arrogant kind of.
Yeah. So, but it's going to be a fun division. I mean, it's going to be fun. We're going to have to play well to win it. I think we will. But yeah, the Phillies, you know, their bench is so much better than it was last year. It was.
Yeah, let's talk about the additions.
Our left-handed pinch hitter last year, Ross Gloed, who good while healthy, but he couldn't do anything after he hurt his hip.
Yep.
And then we had Michael Martinez and Wilson Valdez, who now we just have Wilson Valdez, I believe. We're getting rid of Martinez, and we added Lance Nix, Jim Tomei, and also Ty Wigington.
Yes.
So, and some of those will be playing certain times, but then you put one of them in, you take Mayberry out. So we're going to have, really good bench.
Right.
Much better bench. Power, both sides of the plate, a much better bench. Instead of a bunch of players that really aren't even barely major leaguers like Martinez and Valdez, now we've got studs out there. And Tomei, that's going to change the way people pitch. They're not necessarily going to be able to, he might get it. He's going to probably get to play against righties because, do you use your top lefty to face Tomei or Howard and Utley,
Right.
Probably Howard and Utley. So, he's going to be pounding some home runs for us.
Yep.
And the threat of it changed the way the manager has to – he won't be able to save the lefty for – he'll have to think about it. Maybe he'll use him, if Tomey's hot that week or something. So we'll get some matchups in our favor because of this, and it's going to be good. The Phillies are going to be much deeper, able to withstand injury, which is good because they're going to be injury-prone based on their age like they were last year. But now instead of having to put – guys like Wilson Valdez in there, they can put Lance Nix, Ty Wigington, Jim Tomei. They're going to be a lot better off the bench.
Yeah, they're definitely a lot.
The Phillies are better than they were last year, even though they lost Oswalt because he didn't contribute at all. As long as Worley is close to what he did last year and not a flash in the pan, they're a better team, and that's a good thing. So,
yep.
Once Howard gets back and everything, which, he will be by the time it counts, second
now,
half of the season.
Whose spot in the bullpen is Dontrell Willis going to take?
He's the lefty specialist. That's another thing. I forgot about that. He was dominant against lefties last year.
Was he really?
He wasn't great as a starter. Oh, yeah, they only hit like 100 off him. So
I didn't realize that.
I feel like lefties with a weird delivery, lefty batters cannot hit a lefty pitcher that has a weird delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he has. So lefties he's gonna be the lefty specialist because Bastardo is a full inning guy. He's not a lefty specialist, Bastardo. He's your eighth
inning. I haven't watched Willis in a little while. He used to have a weird delivery, then he changed it.
Yeah, but it's still
kind of quirky.
He's gonna come in and only face left-handers, and I think he's gonna get him out. He's gonna be the JC Romero of this year. And that's what we needed. Cause,
you mean the 2008 J.C. Romero?
Right. Yeah, 2007, 2008 J.C. Romero.
Yeah. And, I don't want last year's J.C. Romero.
Before. Exactly. A couple years ago. But no, he's going to be good. And it's like I said, because Bastardo is your eighth inning guy. You couldn't just necessarily bring him in to face lefties. But now you have Willis to do that. So our bullpen's better.
What I feel like is going to happen at some point is they're going to have Dontrell Willis bat, and he's going to hit a home run.
That's going to happen, and he can be a spot starter too.
Yeah, right. That's true.
You always need those. This better for depth. We have much better depth in the bullpen, better depth everywhere. Oswalt's the only really subtraction, but he didn't give us anything last year anyway. It's a shame. If he was healthy all year, he probably would have been much better in that.
Yeah,
playoff.
I saw that he said he was open to 1-year deals, and maybe they'll bring him back. I mean,
if he wants to take a 1-year deal, I'm sure that they'd offer him one. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
Give it one more chance at the four aces to actually get to see it.
That'd be cool. I'd be down for that.
I'm down for three aces too. That's pretty cool.
Yep. We'll also absolutely go with that. That's cool.
Three of the top five Cy Young votes were all Phillies pitchers. That's pretty damn good.
Three aces and the Vanimal.
Yep.
Down for that.
So, yes.
How do you feel about Jimmy Rollins being back, honestly?
I always said as long as he doesn't get too many years, because I'm tired of, Howard's contract's terrible. 5 years, $125 million. We could have got someone better than him for that. They overpaid by far. When they could have waited till right now, he would have been a free agent this year. They could have signed him 5 years, $125 right now. He would have taken it.
It's probably
I don't think they would have had to give him more than that. I don't think anyone else would have either, especially being hurt. But they could have got Prince Fielder, who I'd much rather have than Ryan Howard or Albert Pujols for that $25 million a year. They just had to add more years.
Where he's going to end up, Fielder.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Who knows? That could change things around. Would I rather have one of those two guys? Absolutely. For the same amount per year? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, Pujols, he's making, what, $25 a year, right? I mean, he's not – maybe he's making $27, $28.
Yeah,
but not much more than that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 10 years, 254, right? Isn't that what his contract was? So yep, $25 million a year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have Howard for 5 years, but I'd rather have Pujols for 10, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have done that. He would have come here instead of go to L.A. Absolutely.
Who's got the money to go out and get Fielder at this point? Where his possible destination? Could he go to Chicago?
Yeah, he could go to Chicago. I think Milwaukee's already spent the money. They went and got Ramos Ramirez, so I don't think he's going back there. There's always been rumors of the Nationals and, you know, or the Cardinals, maybe. Who knows? I mean, the Cardinals haven't
spent. He has to go somewhere where he can eat vegetarian food and stay fat.
Yeah.
Chicago has deep dish pizza.
Yep, absolutely. St. Louis, too, he could go. So there's some places. You know, one of those American League teams could always do something because they could use him as a DH, so who knows? It'll be interesting, but
come here because cheesesteaks are not vegetarian.
Right. Yeah, that would be a bad thing for him. Although you never know. He could always decide to stop being a vegetarian.
Weirdo. Anyway,
Philly's looking good. Let's take a break and we'll move on and we'll do.
Wait,
some
was that you said? You said the Philly's looking good.
Yeah, Philly's looking good.
Reggie Miller's looking good too.
Reggie Miller also looking good. Yes, sir. But yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get into the illegal procedure of the week and some NFL picks.
Yeah, man, do some crossfire and get out of here. Sounds good. Let's do it.
The Upon Official Review podcast.
That's it. The last word in Philly sports. You guys stay tuned.
All the elves were making toys for the good Gentile girls and the good Gentile boys. When the boss busted in, nearly scared him half to death. Had a rifle in his hands and cheap whiskey on his breath. From his beard to his boots, he was covered with ammo. Like a big, fat, drunk, disgruntled Yuletide Rambo. And he smiled as he said, with a twinkle in his eye, Merry Christmas to all, now you're all gonna die. The night Santa went crazy, the night Saint Nick went insane. Realized he'd been getting the wrong deal. Something finally must have snapped in his brain.
Alright, gang. It is the Upon Official Review podcast back in action. As always, again, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all you guys listening over the holiday weekend. I hope you're enjoying. I hope you got a lot of cool presents. And it is time for one of our favorite presents that we deliver every podcast. It is time for the illegal procedure.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
All right, gang. This week, the illegal procedure goes to any NFL player who decides it's okay to celebrate a touchdown when you're losing by a bunch of points.
NFL player.
Exactly. Any NFL player. What'd I say?
NBA player.
Yeah, NFL player.
We all knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. It's getting ridiculous. It's been ridiculous, as a matter of fact. I'm really almost nothing makes me madder when I'm watching football as to when a team is losing significantly often and they score a touchdown and it's all right, now is a good time to do an elaborate touchdown dance. last week it happened when the Eagles were blowing out the Jets. Santonio Holmes is like, I'm going to do the old Terrell Owens touchdown celebration.
Taunting the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put my foot on the football and flap my arms like an eagle. And, yeah, that's a good idea. That'll get my team motivated, even though we're down by 3 scores. The other thing, too, was he was responsible for 2 turnovers that led to 2 Eagles touchdowns.
Exactly. So, yeah. He was terrible.
Exactly. 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Giants – got walloped by the Saints. Remember this game?
Yep.
And Brandon Jacobs decides he's going to do the Dougie or whatever the heck he was doing in the end zone. It was the worst. It wasn't even the Dougie. It was like the worst dance I've seen of all time. It was atrocious to watch. It hurt my feelings to watch him do this dance. And he continued to do it for like the longest time. I'm like, what is this man doing? You're getting stomped right now. You don't. Why are you dancing? There's almost nothing that makes me more upset. Brent Celek does this too. Brent Celek loves to celebrate first downs. And
oh yeah, he does it in such a dorky white guy way too. It's like, wow, dude. Like, and I'm pretty white and all, but man, like, it's just, whew, it's bad. So you know what it is? It's selfish. It's selfish. I care about me. I know this touchdown is going to make me more money in the future, and I'm going to do this. And I'm on TV right now. And yay me! What a wonderful person I am. You know, it's just selfishness. It's pure, unadulterated selfishness. And that's why it's a turnoff. You know, if it's a close game, fine. You know, I think they might a lot of times go over the top with the choreographed stuff. Yeah, sometimes they're having fun. That's fine. I personally wouldn't do that. I think the coolest one was Barry Sanders. Act like you've done it before. Act like it's no big deal. It's like a first down to me. I'm so good that I expect to score a touchdown every time I touch the ball. I'm not surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's even cooler. But, you know, that's fine. You know, do what you want to do, but not when you're getting smoked. That's just wrong.
Yeah. I don't hate touchdown celebrations.
I don't either. I just personally wouldn't do it if I was in that position. Yeah. I think it's even cooler to act like you've been there. But I don't. You know, like you said, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I think they're funny a lot of times.
Exactly. I enjoy a lot of them when they're creative.
Yeah, I do.
And
like I said, I think it's very Sanders-losing.
When you're losing, it's like, come on.
If it's a significant touchdown, if you're down 10 with 10 minutes to go and you score to make a 3-point game, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Down to within 10 in the third quarter, that's fine.
Right.
But if you're down 30 points, you know, if the game is out of reach you're not, and this isn't making it within reach, if it's not a significant as far as in the game, then get the heck out of here.
Exactly. Go to the sidelines and get ready to score another touchdown so your team can actually be in contention. It's ridiculous.
Nope,
so that's my league procedure of the week. You guys cut it out. It's ridiculous. Or as Coach Dick would say, stop it.
Yep. It's out of control. Damn kids, get off my lawn.
Exactly. All right, let's go from that. Let's get into the tweet of the week, and then we'll do our NFL locks for this week. So let's do that. Let's get the tweet out. La, la, wait till I get my Twitter right. La, then you can't tweet me nothing right. Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing. All right, gang. Tweet of the week this week goes to a new followee, a new person, a new account I started following on Twitter. It goes by the name of Howard Mudd Facts. Whoever runs this account tweeted, Howard Mudd was pulled over for speeding yesterday, and Howard Mudd let the cop off with a warning.
That's a good one, too, because you know the cop would be like, that would be his bad to pull over Howard Mudd.
Absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely.
Good tweet. Absolutely.
I thought that was good. So, yeah, you guys check out that account. It's pretty funny. And there's a lot of these kind of like, what up, insert name here, facts. You know, Chuck Norris facts is like the original.
Yeah,
you know? And there's like a Shane Victorino facts, whatever. But the Howard Mudd facts are pretty good. Definitely check those out. Good stuff. Let's get into the football picks, man. We need to come up with a clever name for our, like, locks of the week. But for now, you guys just get our,
our picks. Yep.
Get our picks, get our wisdom, and we'll give them to you for free. So let's go through this list, man. We both got the same list in front of us.
This is we're using the lines put out by Bodog.com.
It's a different website.
It's actually sports.bovada.lv. But it's Bodog.
Same thing.
It's the same thing. It just redirects you. Yeah, different deal. But Houston Tech, we'll start with the Thursday night game.
Yep.
Which would have been a good game if Peyton Manning wasn't gone. But it's Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts. Houston is favored by 6.5. I am picking the Texans.
I will take the Texans, too, on that one.
The Texans got they got beat last week. Indy won last week. And actually, I'm gonna go outside the box here. I'm gonna go Indy.
Are you?
Give me taking the points. Yep. I don't know that they're gonna win the game outright, but I like the 6.5.
I think they're gonna cover, huh?
I think they're gonna cover because they're a little bit. I think they're gonna be in contention, and I think Houston. They kind of already clinched their division. They're kind of hitting a little bit of a slump right now. So I'm gonna actually take Indy.
Houston has 4 losses.
Yeah, the 10-4. Mm-hmm.
But they could still potentially get that 2 seed, correct? Or maybe even the 1.
I think it's outside chance. They're pretty much going to be, you know.
It's New England and Baltimore right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I think Houston puts their foot on the gas this week. I think they step on their throats. I'm going to take the Texans in this one.
Well, I mean, I'd say most people probably will. So, like I said, I was going to go crazy a little outside the box on that one. But that's cool. All right.
Any given Sundays.
So now we'll go to the Christmas Eve games, 1 o'clock. We have the Oakland Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City is favored by 2 points. So what do you think about that one?
Wow, 2-point favorites for the Chiefs.
Yeah, at home. I guess they like that home field advantage there. So
The Raiders need this game. I'm going to take the Raiders to win outright. I'm going to take them to win that game.
I agree. I absolutely. You're 100% right. They've kind of slipped a little bit. I think Carson Palmer is going to come back, have a decent game. Kansas City kind of
shocked the world last week.
Yeah, shot their load a little bit. Excuse my language last week. So I think they're going to be a little hungover from the win against Green Bay. And short week after that, they're kind of celebrating probably a little bit. So I believe Oakland covers and wins the game outright. So moving on, we have Tebow. Denver at Buffalo.
Like he said it, like He-Man.
Denver at Buffalo. Denver's favored by 3 points. I think Denver covers easy. They win this game going away. Buffalo rolled over and died.
Wow, They were 5-2 at one point.
Yeah, now they're, 5-9? Yeah, they stink.
They got obliterated by injuries.
And they also got obliterated by Fitzpatrick actually playing like Fitzpatrick rather than playing like Tom Brady. So
exactly.
I think Tebow is going to steamroll them. And that's what I think. I don't think it's a close game
at
all.
I think they win by 10 points. Broncos win that game. Right. Yep. Although, outside of, this discussion, I think the Broncos need Brian Dawkins and they need Von Miller to be healthy.
You know who needs Brian Dawkins? The Eagles!
Yeah.
Also bastards. True. Not every player dies when they're 30. Dawkins is still good. Brian Urlacher's awesome.
It's
just ridiculous. They have nobody. The safeties, linebackers stink. They'd at least have good safeties if Dawkins was in. And a leader who they've sorely needed.
Yeah, they really need a leader.
Their defense would be so much better if they had Brian Dawkins and one half-decent linebacker they let go, like the guy, our middle line, Stuart Bradley, or who's the other guy that went to Cleveland that's been actually really good the last couple games? Who?
I have not watched Cleveland for one snap.
He was on our team like last year.
Sims?
Go Kong.
Really? Go Kong?
Yeah, like works and fumbles and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I hear Chris.
He's better than our stinking linebackers.
He wasn't terrible when he was here. He was.
Yeah, these guys are terrible. He was just a regular NFL player.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't anything special, but he wasn't awful, and that's what
you know. What I really liked saying Go Kong whenever you play.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's great or anything like that. He's just a minor upgrade to what we have now. Yeah. Like I said, we had those two players, those three. We had the Stuart Bradley also. I think he's played fine. Better than, who was our,
who we've got.
The black sheep of the
role.
Yeah, but who was the starting middle linebacker at the beginning of the year?
Casey Matthews.
Yeah, the black sheep.
Who plays last week?
I don't think he can stop the run at all, though, which you need for your linebacker. They put him in the nickel, which is one.
Right.
But anyway, so next game, enough sobbing about how the Eagles didn't have any plan for their Eagles linebackers. We all know they're going to do the same stupid thing because they're going to keep Andy Reid and he's going to be some blind idiot. And, it's the same thing with the wide receivers 10 years ago, and they finally fixed that. There's always something that they don't have, even average NFL level position, and that's why we're never going to win because they just – whatever. It's frustrating. I hate Andy Reid. I hope he chokes on his next cheesesteak. Tennessee is a big favorite at home against Jacksonville. Tennessee by 7.5 is the line.
That's a lot of points. Jacksonville is bad, though.
Yeah, didn't they win like 41 to something the other week though? Tennessee's not that great either. I know that's a high line to me. I'm going to take Jacksonville to cover, but Tennessee wins the game. I just don't think Tennessee wins by 8. So with the points, I take Jacksonville.
Interesting. That's a tough one to call for me too. I'm gonna go ahead and go with you on that. Yeah, I'm gonna say the exact same thing. I think Tennessee will win the game, but yeah, probably not by that much. Is
a good line.
Hasselbeck back or is Locker starting that game?
I don't know. That's probably Locker is probably why it's such a, or no, probably Hasselbeck's why there'd be such a high line. You think with Locker it'd be lower than 7?
Exactly.
Most NFL games end with 3, 7, or 10, so you're getting 7.5. That's a good.
Jacksonville got walloped last week against Atlanta, though. They lost 41-14.
But didn't they win 41-something just a week before that?
Yeah, they crushed Tampa Bay. I can't figure Tampa Bay out at all.
They stink now.
Like they were good.
Terrible.
Good last year.
Yeah, I think that coach is gone.
But. Yeah, but he looked like he had that team on the right track.
Yeah, that was a 1-year wonder deal, I guess.
Weird.
But. Yeah. All right, next one. We still at the 1 o'clock games. Arizona at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by 4. To me, I'm taking Cincinnati. I think they cover the 4. I don't think Arizona's very good. Skelton has been getting lucky, but without playing well is the reason why he's 6-5-1 or something
that
like that.
This game, I wish he stinks. Had over Seattle, the Seattle game.
The Arizona game.
Arizona with John Skelton. Ugh, really, guys? Really, you can't come up to. Beat them, and they were up in that game too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and they put the rookie safety on Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. That's why you should have a regular defensive coordinator. Yeah. Whatever. All right, Miami at New England. New England at home giving 10 points. Miami gets 10.
That's a lot.
Is a lot of points. New England's really good. Miami's not very good. Home game for Brady. They're looking for to get a bye in the first round. I'm going to take the Patriots. I think they cover the 10. I think they win by 217 or something like that.
Miami has been playing at a pretty high level.
Decent level. I think this is the week where they kind of slip back a little bit.
Right,
though.
Exactly. We beat them. We put up 26 on them. But before that, they had been holding people.
They were like 4-1 or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm glad to see Reggie Bush is turned into a decent NFL back. I think that they cover too. I think you're right. I think they win by. Is it 10 or 10 and a half? Well, here, is
10.
It 10? Yeah, it's 10. 10. Yeah, yeah, I think they win by 10.
Yeah. Okay. We next have Cleveland at Baltimore. Baltimore's favored by an even 13. Big line. Cleveland stinks. You know what?
That's too high for me.
I'm taking the upset. Yeah, I don't. Baltimore's offense. Joe Flacco's regressed this year. He's not that good. That's another team who wouldn't do it but should get Peyton Manning. Baltimore. Because you can Flacco. You can get – that's a trade chip. Somebody will take Flacco off your hands, but he's not that good. And they have good players on offense. Ray Rice, Anquan Boldin, they have really good players on offense. They have a great
– That rookie wideout is good too.
You put Peyton Manning on that team, they're the best team in the AFC. I mean, there's a – The Jets, the Baltimore, San Francisco, all three of those teams would do well to sell the farm for Manning. Because Baltimore especially, because they could get something for Flacco. They wouldn't have to give up 2 first rounds and a second round. Because they probably could get a first and a second for Flacco.
Yeah.
So, to me, they'd only be out 1 first round.
First and a second for Flacco, huh?
Absolutely. He's young. He's been to the AFC Championship game. He's won like 5 road playoff games or 4 or something like that. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think somebody would give it up. At least a first.
Yeah,
so
I'll say at least
a
first.
One first this year and a second next year, maybe, kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of cutting it in half because he's valuable anyway. So I think, but all this to say, he's not had a great year. They have a good record. They're winning on defense, low scoring. I don't see them winning by 13. Not right now. So yeah. I'm picking Cleveland, and you are as well.
I'm gonna take Cleveland. I don't think Baltimore's going to beat them by 13. I really don't. That's somewhat of a rivalry, and Cleveland likes to kind of grind it.
Absolutely a rivalry, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, they both were Cleveland at one point, so
exactly.
It's hard to. The offenses are slowing down this time of year too. So, and in Baltimore, the weather might not be great. Who knows? So,
right.
All right, next one. It's the New York game. The Jets at or the Giants at the
New
Jets.
New York.
Really, you know, I don't know. I assume for this game. The Jets don't get 3 points because they're both at home. I don't know how that works, but they are favored by 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they win, certainly.
Definitely rooting for them, yep.
Betting with my heart, I'm going to pick the Jets because, God, I hope they win. I hope it's not close, so I don't have to sweat it out.
Yep.
So yeah, go Jets.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the Jets. I think they'll win by three. I think they'll win by more than that, honestly. You know what? He's going to have a big game is Plaxico.
Yeah,
I think.
Please, let's do it. Yeah, he'll be motivated. You're right.
Exactly.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, yep. He'll cut a couple touchdowns. Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yep. Yeah.
The back end of the Giants defense is vulnerable. So
Right now it's been. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next one, two lousy teams. Minnesota at Washington. Washington is favored by 6.5.
That's a weird
Minnesota's
line too.
Minnesota killed.
That bad?
Yeah, well, Washington looked good last week, and Minnesota is pretty bad. They won only two games. Ponder looked horrible last week. So I picked Washington to cover.
Really?
At home? Grossman, when Grossman doesn't turn the ball over, he's a good quarterback. It's weird to say because he does, but otherwise he can make the throws. You know what I mean? When he doesn't do something stupid, he's got the arm. He can make the throws. They can score points with him.
Yeah, looking at Minnesota's
Minnesota's awful. Their secondary was like calling their own plays. They were hearing what was called and then saying, no, I'm going to call something different. Their secondary. They're so off track right now. I don't think they're bad. I'm picking Washington to cover easily.
It's 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5.
I am not going to pick them to cover.
Pick Minnesota?
I'm going to take Minnesota in that game.
The points, all right. So
Minnesota's lost. They got walloped last week, though, 42-20. Then they lost to the Lions by 6. They lost to Denver by 3. They lost to Atlanta by 10. They lost to Oakland by 6. And they got trashed by the Green Bay 45-7. But I feel like that line is just a little bit high for me. You know, Ponder did look bad last week, but I think he's going to be a decent player. And I just think, you know, I don't think they're going to completely tank it. I think they like their coach out there. I'll take Minnesota in that one.
Okay. All right. Let's moving on here. Let's try to get through this. We got Tampa Bay at Carolina. Carolina's favored by 7.5. Tampa Bay stinks. I think it's easy. Carolina covers. I think Tampa Bay's getting blown out by awful teams. Jacksonville by 30 points. So Carolina, you know, they're playing, you know, Cam Newton. They're trying to play for next year to build on something. I think they're going to win big. Easy win for Carolina.
I'm right with you on that one. Tampa Bay is bad. I don't know what happened to them. I thought they
could beat anyone right now. Indy would blow them out. I think they're the worst team right now. Nobody's playing worse than Tampa Bay.
They haven't scored 20 points in 5 weeks.
Yeah, I believe it.
And the week before that, they only scored 9. That's bad. Yep. That's bad. And they haven't been going up against like stalwart defenses either.
Right.
They scored 26 against Green Bay, who's, you know, that's it's a division. No, that's not. Yeah, this is a division opponent, right?
Tampa Bay. No, they're the
Green
NFC
Bay
South.
In the North.
NFC North, yeah.
But they generally they've kind of played each other a little tight in the
the battle of the bays. Yeah.
Exactly. And Green Bay's defense is more of a turnover type defense. But yeah, they haven't been going up against tough defenses, and they haven't.
Right. They stink. So we're both.
Last time they played Carolina, they lost by 19. So right. I want to definitely take Carolina with the points on that one.
All right. Now we got the last 1 o'clock game on Christmas Eve is the Rams at the Steelers. There's no line for this game because I guess we don't know if Roethlisberger's going to play. So we could just skip right through that.
Steelers. I don't care what the line is. I'm taking the Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Charlie Batch. The Rams are horrible.
Yep. Yep.
Is it Leftwich?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I saw him on the field like on Monday night. So
it's
a short week for Pittsburgh, 5 days, a weird week. But yeah, they'll probably cover. But there's no line, so we don't.
Maybe
you can't cost us on this one. There's no line here. So San Diego at Detroit is the first 4 o'clock game. Good game. San Diego's their typical same as the Eagles, bad coach that they've kept for way too long, and they stink at the beginning and always come roaring back, and maybe it's a little too late. But in this case, they're only one game out for the division. Detroit's playing really well. I think that is going to be one of my favorite games to watch. Unfortunately, the Eagles game played at the same time, so I'll definitely be watching some of that on Red Zone. But the Lions are favored by 3 points at home over San Diego. I think San Diego wins the game outright, and I'm taking them to cover. I'll take the 3 points, but I think they win. I think they win outright, even so. So
Detroit is locked into a wild card spot. Yes, no
they are not. They need to win one more game or have
a couple. Who can pass them?
A couple teams with seven losses still. Giants maybe, and I'm not sure who else had seven. But they need one more win or like two teams to lose a game.
So they need to lock this up, and they are 3-point favorites. I'm going to take the Lions.
All right. I think that'll be a good game. So
that is going to be a good game.
Maybe North Turner will cost them. I just, you know, the Lions coach, Schwartz, I hate. They so many stupid penalties. I think they're undisciplined. You know, I think the reason they're good now is because they've had so many high draft picks. They have good players.
Right.
And the coach is going to get more credit than he deserves because they're totally undisciplined, stomping on players, shoving refs. I hate North Turner either and gambling on him on the road. Bad. But so that to me is one that I wouldn't bet on, honestly. But if I had to choose one, I'll choose San Diego.
What is Norv short for?
I don't know. Maybe nothing. Maybe it's just Norv.
Norvell?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. I don't know. It could
I've
just
decided
be Norv.
I don't like anybody named Norv.
Yeah, I agree. Terrible name. All right. So there's four games left here, and we got some good ones coming up. But another 4 o'clock Christmas Eve is the San Francisco 49ers traveling not very far for once. Most teams that go to Seattle have to go a long way, but they're not very far. Probably the closest team, maybe Denver. San Francisco at Seattle. San Francisco is favored only by 2, which I think is odd. I guess
that's
they're
a
short
low.
Week, only 5 days. I guess that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle's been playing really well lately. I'm still taking San Fran to cover that.
Yeah, I think they'll win by at least a field goal.
Three or four, yeah, agreed. So,
side note, are there any two more sissy cities in America than San Francisco and Seattle?
Certainly
maybe somewhere
San Francisco
in Vermont.
Number one on that list.
Yeah.
But I think so.
This is like that's like the city equivalent of a slap fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's weird. I agree. That's bad. Yeah. So let's go to the next game. The Eagles at the Cowboys. There's no line on this one either. Let me look up what the ESPN's saying about that. ESPN doesn't always have the actual lines because they're not a casino, but. They
what?
Say
it's
Dallas by 3. Yeah, they're saying Dallas by 3. Well, they have two different lines. They have an insider line that's Philly by 3, and their regular line is Dallas by 3. I don't understand that. And they have the Dallas. The Bodog has Dallas favored by 3, and it's crossed out. So I don't know what that means. That seems about right. They're at home. They should be favored by 3. I'm taking the Eagles. Forget it. I don't care. It's going to be somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I want the Eagles to win, so I'm picking the Eagles.
Yeah. Felix Jones has a hamstring problem, dude. If the Cowboys can't run and they're a one-dimensional team, they're in trouble.
Yeah, that's true because Murray's out also, right?
Exactly. Marco Murray's down for the year.
Been out, for a while now. So, yeah, good. I agree. I think we beat them. We beat them easy last time. We're going to do it again.
Yep.
We're still alive. Now, maybe if the Giants win, that'll take the wind out of our sails. But as long as we're alive, if the Jets win, we win. So if you want to bet that game, maybe wait to see if the Eagles have anything to play for first.
Yep.
And bet right at the last minute there. Okay. Sunday night game, which would have been a good game if I keep forgetting that they have Kate or, you know, whoever. I guess they pulled Caleb Haney, but it's Chicago at Green Bay.
McCown.
Exactly. Still, either way, that's
garbage.
Brutal. Green Bay is going to be favored. I see on ESPN by 13. There's no line on Bodog, but I assume it would be something like that. I think they cover easy. They win by 3 touchdowns. No problem. They're going to be mad they lost last week. They still haven't clinched the number one seed yet, unless San Francisco loses to Seattle, which I don't think is going to happen. So maybe if San Francisco loses and they have nothing to play for, it's close. But certainly – this is the next day, so you'll have a chance to bet if you're trying to bet. You'd wait till Sunday to find out if they've already clinched or not. If they haven't clinched, I'm picking Green Bay. If not, maybe I'd pick depends on if they play their players. That's why there's no line on it.
Right.
But if San Fran wins, they will play the players, and they win easy. And then finally, last but not least, what are you picking for that one?
Yeah, it really
give me both scenarios. If they play everybody and if they don't. And if they've already clinched
it. I feel like who's Green Bay's backup? Matt Flynn? I feel like they'll still beat him with Matt Flynn.
Okay.
The Bears are bad. Luke McCown, switching Luke McCown for
it's an upgrade.
Caleb Haney is like, you know, changing like, you know, dirty socks for, you know, just a bag of garbage. Like, you know, still stinks.
Oh, I love it.
You know
all right.
I mean?
I'm dirty socks for a bag of garbage. All right.
You can have
I would say it's like trading a bag of garbage for dirty socks.
Either one.
Yeah. I think it's an upgrade, but yeah, you're right. All right, and the really good game, probably the game of the week,
game of the
night, Atlanta at New Orleans.
Had a good Monday night game. It's been a while.
Yeah. Atlanta at New Orleans. New Orleans by 7 is the line. New Orleans right now, Breeze has just been out of his mind. I think
San Francisco Pittsburgh would have been a good game, but Roethlisberger was clearly hurt.
Right. That's true. Yep. New Orleans Atlanta. New Orleans I think covers easy. Breeze out of his mind. You can't stop him right now. So right now, if New Orleans met Green Bay, they would win. But we'll see what happens when it comes to the playoffs. It will be in Green Bay, which will help them a lot. But right now, the Saints are playing as well as anybody in football. And
Breeze is in beast mode.
He's total beast mode. Absolutely.
Yeah, his you can tell because his birthmark glows when he's on fire. It's like his little.
Miss two passes all week. He's looking like Rodgers did in Week 5, and I think they're gonna win easy. Because they're fighting for that number 2 seed with San Francisco. And right now they're the number 3 seed, which is a big difference. You don't get the bye.
Drew Brees is so good right now. You could probably put his little baby son in there, and he would probably play just as well. Like, he's that good right now.
You can make it so anyone can catch it. Yep, so that'll wrap it up for the lines. If you are so inclined to gamble, take this for what it's worth.
Two expert lines.
Absolutely.
Although we're not going to pay you your money back if you lose it.
Absolutely not. You're getting nothing from us. But we're happy to take a cut if you win. So
exactly.
You
know, exactly. Feel free.
We'll figure out some kind of plan. Absolutely. Yeah. You can buy us a beer or something. All right. Well, that'll do it for that. And let's head into Crossfire.
All right, man. Let's do it. Let's do some Crossfire.
It's the ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. All right, sir. Let's bang out some Crossfire. Question number one. Green Bay gets beat last week. They are running on their third string left tackle right now. That's bad news. Then there was a lot of pressure on Rodgers. After last week's loss, after Green Bay looked unbeatable, are they more vulnerable in your eyes? Do you now see them as not so much far ahead? Is it, more difficult now?
Well, I think it's more that New Orleans is picking up steam and they're losing a little bit of steam. And that always happens with these undefeated teams. They start to get worse and worse. And you just can't keep winning by 40 every week. It's never been done.
Greg Jennings is also out.
You know, New England, when they went, people forget, the Eagles almost beat them with A.J. Feely. Baltimore really almost beat them. And Baltimore wasn't very good that year. And they got really lucky because Baltimore got a turnover when they were ahead up. New England was in the red zone. But Baltimore's coach called a timeout right before the play, like icing the kicker type of deal, and it didn't count. Mm-hmm. And they got really lucky to win a couple of those games. But you lose those steam. I do. I think New Orleans, if I had to pick right now, is my pick to win everything. I think they're
really
just unbelievable right now.
They are good. And their offense is
Green Bay, when you're not getting, 6 fumbles a game, you can't count on that. They don't stop anybody. So I think it might be New Orleans at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, if Roethlisberger's healthy, because they're the only good team that actually does have a defense. Mm-hmm. The top 3 teams to me is Green Bay, Patriots, New Orleans. To me, that's like just those are the top. That's the top tier. Everyone else is cut below. But Pittsburgh's the 4th team to me, mm-hmm. with a healthy Roethlisberger, and they have a defense. So, you know what they always say: defense wins championships. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
It could be. But I'm liking New Orleans a lot. So yeah, I think Green Bay is a little more vulnerable. But I certainly wouldn't be shocked to see them win. It's gonna be hard for New Orleans to play in Lambeau. That might be enough.
Slow them down in the cold.
Yep, absolutely.
Man, put them on that track though. Whew.
Yeah. Oh, forget it. So all right, I will ask you. Do you believe that the Miami Heat are or should be the NBA favorites for this upcoming 2011-12 season?
I think that they are. I think that a shortened season probably benefits them a little bit just because they are still relatively young. Yep. Exactly.
Young
I do like the addition of Shane Battier.
It's a short season, but it's a condensed season.
Right.
66 games, 119 days or something
like that. A bunch
of
those back-to-back-to-back.
The younger teams will definitely benefit from that. The Sixers will benefit from
I'll tell you what. If the Knicks had a coach I was more confident in, I would really like them, man, because they could shock you in a playoff series with all that talent in that starting five.
Yeah, now they got Tyson Chandler.
Exactly. With Tyson Chandler, Mario Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony, and Baron Davis, that's tough, man. Those guys can all score. They're just all just good basketball players. But I don't know if
Davis wants to play.
Yeah, when he wants to play. But I feel like I want to play now again.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like last year when he was with the Clippers and when he was with LeBron in Cleveland, it was like, what's the point?
Yeah.
But
so you say yes, they are the favorites.
I think they are the favorites. I would love to see Oklahoma City knock them off.
I think the Clippers might be the best team in the West. Dallas.
They don't have a two guard now. If they had found a way to make that trade without losing Gordon,
no, they got Billups, yo.
I don't know. You think Billups got that much left in the tank? And he's a small two guard.
Yeah.
If they're gonna play him with the off guard, he's 6'3", 6'2".
That's true.
Chris
Paul is gonna help them so much.
Chris Paul is
good. And Blake Griffin.
Griffin's a year older. If he can stick an 18-foot
shot, if Griffin can get a little bit of space. Phillips
can
still nail those threes. He'll be open because of those other players.
Yeah, man.
And be getting the ball just right. No, I think they have a chance. I think Dallas, too. I mean, they lost Tyson Chandler, but they got Lamar Odom. So they'll be just as good as they were.
Lamar Odom is good. He's a versatile player.
Absolutely.
It was an interesting trade for me. I was surprised the Lakers let him go.
Lakers seem like they almost had to because the league screwed them. But we'll get into that more.
Yeah, we're
going to
do a whole separate NBA podcast.
NBA preview podcast. But yes, Miami. Yeah, I guess you'd have to put them as the favorites if you were a website or something or a casino or whatever. I don't think obviously we're all going to be rooting against them. So we'll see what happens. But all right. I guess you're up.
Exactly, sir. It is time for you to answer this question. Who we saw them face off last week on opposite sidelines, but who would win in a wing-eating competition? Andy Reid or Rex Ryan, or is there another NFL coach that you throw in as a wild card so you can out-eat those two?
Well, I don't think anyone could out-eat either of those guys. Are we talking about just head coaches here?
Yeah, head coaches, yes.
Yeah, because I was going to say the other Ryan, Rob, could be the
Rob. You know what? Yeah, if he was in there, he's dark horse.
Reed wins hands down. Andy Reid hands down takes that title. I don't think anyone could come close.
You know who I bet would eat a lot of
the field away?
Romeo Crennel, I bet, could throw down some.
That's true. He's an interim head coach. Exactly. That's true. That dude knows how to eat. Yeah, all right. I still say Reed gets him.
Yeah.
He's got the widest gut. He's got the most room.
Yeah,
the heavy favorite to me. So.
Yeah, you know what would be his issue? I think he might get wings like he caught in his mustache.
You might have to shave that mustache.
Exactly.
Get that more aerodynamic.
Exactly.
The wind resistance.
Lower the resistance. Lower the wing resistance. I love it. That's good stuff, man.
All right. Last but not least, who would you like to see in the Super Bowl? If the Eagles, obviously, we would like to see the Eagles playing against Jacksonville. That's who we'd love to see. You know, whoever the worst team is. But who would you like to see as?
Who would I like to see? What's the diagnosis on the Texans quarterback Schaub? Is he possibly going to be back?
I think he's going to be back for the playoffs. Yeah.
Okay, I would like to see the Texans and the Saints.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Oh yeah, two high-powered offenses.
Yeah.
Texans have an awesome ground game, with two really good running backs. One of the top three wideouts in the league.
Definitely one of the top three. Andre Johnson.
And it'd be nice to see somebody different. Because I'm so sick of the Steelers.
Steelers aren't fun to watch.
I'm sick of the Patriots.
Yeah, it's funny because you say that. If I had to answer it now, unbiased. What I think the best game would be, I want New Orleans and or Green Bay, either one. But New Orleans, I want New Orleans and
Bengals.
No, New England would be the best game. New Orleans,
yeah, that would be the best game. You're right.
That would be so much fun to watch.
Brady,
I hate
Breeze.
New England.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or Green Bay, New England. Either one of those two would be phenomenal. I hate New England. I don't want them to win. But just as far as your entertainment, like, you know, because that'd be like 50-48
yeah.
49, something
yeah.
like that. You know, 52-49.
Like, score but like a pinball game. Yeah, man.
Yeah. That would probably be the most ideal as far as that. But who do I want? I kind of like Baltimore, Flacco, but they're not, you know, as
Delaware
fun to watch.
Kind of
Pennsylvania on. Yeah, University of Delaware, you know, he's from around here. But I definitely want
– Ray Rice is from around here too, right?
Yeah, New Orleans and Baltimore. How about that? You know, if it wasn't – you know, if I'm including my hate for New England, I'll go New Orleans and Baltimore. That sounds good.
What's Ray – Ray not Ray Rice. Ed Reed just looks like a thug.
Yeah,
that's a good team.
Oh, he's a beast. Yeah. They got a lot of beasts on that
they
team
really
on
do.
Defense.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Crossfire, another successful day. I think we can get into some shout outs.
I agree,
myself.
Sir. It's been a fun episode. Let's do some shout outs and get out of here.
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Hey. Shout out to everybody smoking that glue. Shout out to everybody in the club. Hey.
I will start us off, and I would like to shout out a couple of followers that have been following us for a long time, almost since we've been on Twitter. Our buddy Chris, his Twitter handle is at CJ Starchild, all one word, just like it sounds, at the letter C, the letter J, Starchild. He's real cool.
Yes.
He's real into Philly sports. You should definitely be following him. If not, I don't know what's wrong with you. And also, last but not least, one of the biggest Philly fans I know. If you are into the Phillies and you're not following our friend Christina, whose handle is at XO Christina XO, then you got major problems because she is awesome. She definitely is huge Phillies fan and is smart and has good insight into baseball and is just definitely enjoyable to talk to and to hear her point of view. So definitely follow her right now. Drop what you're doing. Follow her. And that's all I got.
Get on it. Follow it like breadcrumbs. All right. A couple more from me. And I won't get too much into these, but people that are just all around awesome. At Wise Servant, spelled just like it sounds. At Philly B-Girl, the B stands for basketball. She's a huge Sixers fan. Like I said, we're going to be talking hoops pretty soon, so definitely stick around, stand by for that podcast coming up. Phil's 08 Champs, name says it all. Awesome. Love that handle. My buddy, Matt Cohen 428, Matt Cohen 428. He was an intern at WIP. And now I actually work with the guy. He's a good dude. Definitely follow him. And at Side Eyes Special, S-I-D-E-E, two E's, Y-E-Y-S, Special. definitely follow him. Really hilarious. Needs to be done. And that's going to do it for the show. Al, thanks again, sir, for being
– Got it. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys were – had half as much fun as listening as we did recording it. We will talk to you guys again soon.
Yep, after Christmas. So you guys have a Merry Christmas, Happy
Merry
Holidays.
Christmas, Happy New Year.
All that good stuff, yeah, and we will absolutely talk to you soon. We'll be back with the NBA preview, and hopefully we'll be back talking an Eagles win. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you. Peace.
Come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus
Lane. Dread Claus.
Control his reindeer, control his reindeer, the non-lay.
Dread Claus.
Bells are ringing, children sing. Bells are ringing, children sing. Bells are ringing, children sing. Santa Claus comes tonight.
Yeah, I tell them all I want for Christmas.
Christmas is two gold front teeth and 10-karat diamonds on a fat gold wreath that I can wear around my neck. Get money and respect. Tell Santa Claus to bring a $10 million check so I can spread a little cheer. Fly a couple lives, eat a little chicken, drink a couple beers, kick back and just chill like a player would do. Remix all the Christmas carols, then I'll play them for you. Luda, turn it up until I wake up all the neighbors. They say that I'm a nuisance, but I say they all some haters. Just because I'm poor, they always calling me a faker. And cause my Christmas tree's decorated in toilet paper. But little do they know, they about to see a show. Cause when they come up out the house, I'm gonna blast them with some snow. Frosty's never seen nothing quite like this. And St. Nick's never seen nothing quite like Chris. So,
come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus.
Tread, 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 tread.